Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello, welcome to this week's episode of the Mum and Mama podcast, brought to you as always by the lovely Golding Accountancy. We are golding.com. How are you? I hope you're good. This week is the second part of my chat with the lovely Jordan Gray. So if you haven't listened to part one yet, then I suggest you do. I am going to stop saying that. But obviously, if you have, then I hope you enjoy the second part. I enjoyed this chat so much, as you can tell, I'm sure. If you're going to Edinburgh, make sure you go and see her. I wish that I was going. Maybe I'll still make it up there. Maybe. But yeah, enjoy, and I'll see you in a bit.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Work.
So, before we were so rudely interrupted,
yeah,
have things changed? Do you feel things are changing?
For transgender people?
Yeah, well, I suppose we're going into a crowd. I suppose you know that there's going to be some people, like you said about bursting the bubble, that might feel a bit like, oh, I don't know what this is. Do you feel like that's getting better, or do you still feel like it's the same?
it's a funny old thing. My audiences are predominantly the broad English, middle English audience. It's like people that maybe don't know what they're looking at, or their only understanding is from the news, or they've heard that they've heard people don't like J.K. Rowling and they're not quite sure why, or they've heard Ricky Gervais has done some jokes and they love it. So they don't necessarily know. And once in a while, I'll play to an LGBT, like I say, quite a lot of prides. I'll play to an audience that's fully, sometimes just all transgender people. And so there are most people's understanding. It's been like a roller coaster over the last 6 or 7 years. There was a big exciting moment where Caitlyn Jenner's on the front of Times and everyone's like, we're like, suddenly all I would have to do is put on some earrings and everyone around me would go, oh, you're so brave. You're so beautiful and brave and amazing. And I'll go, wow, I must be really brave and beautiful and amazing because I've done nothing to deserve this. Everyone wants to show their support. And then that kind of took a dip. As you'd expect, there's a backlash. People think that we feel very entitled to your praise because we got given it so abruptly and so quickly. Now people are still figuring it out, and there's been a pushback on, you know, transgender women banned from swimming and with a sign that it might with swimming with other women in a sporting sense, not in okay. public pools. That's really important to clarify that. Yeah. We are still allowed to like swim in like the sea. Boris Johnson pushing. I'm not particularly politically savvy, I've got to say. I only know the headlines. But he promised to ban conversion therapy for young transgender people, and he didn't. So the government's basically saying it's still okay to convert transgender people by whatever means you deem necessary, be that talking therapy or chemical or electrics in the eyeballs or whatever. Yeah, isn't that mad? Yeah, I mean, they're not going to grab you from your house in the middle of the night and do it. It's whether if the parents of a young trans person think it's important, then, you know, that it's still, but no longer legal for gay people. So that's a very interesting conversation, isn't it? Boris Johnson's agreed that it's wrong to try and convert a gay person, but it's okay to chemically and psychologically convert a transgender person. That says a lot about the government's view towards transgender people. So that's what is on a lot of people's minds at the moment.
Okay.
And for a lot of people that aren't sure if they're on the fence, that's a very important push in one direction, isn't it? Well, the government said so this person on stage must be a freak of nature. And I'm fighting back by just being a funny, normal person. And if I, you know, I do think if you give someone a belly laugh, they're sort of biologically more inclined towards you than they are to the news. They're like, okay, but this person made me feel happy. Yeah. The news makes me feel sad and scared, but that person I just saw on stage actually made me laugh, which means I've got to connect in somewhere.
Yeah.
How does Dolly feel about transgender people?
Well, she's very piping upset up that he's not banned it. I just don't understand why. Well, I mean, he lies about everything all the time anyway, so I suppose it's no surprise that he said he's going to do something and then he's not going to do it. But it's like, but why wouldn't you just do it? Is he getting pressured by?
It's an awful lot of pressure. It's like people are frightened, and you can appreciate with someone being scared of change. They see the world changing around them and you go, oh, I remember when things were a certain way and I was happy like that. And now there's all these bloody men dressed like women. And it happens to coincide with the fact that my knees hurt and I just got a big tax bill. And that didn't happen to me when I was a child, when there were no women, you know, men dressed as women. So people, they age into a place where they become very conservative in their views, don't they? That's so normal. You can start off in life as a teenager and be a little tree hugger and like love life and be, I'm as left leaning and liberal as they get, while also not being very savvy politically. But you get older and you start to think, oh, maybe I do need to hold on to my money and my views, and because the world's scary. The people that aren't necessarily fans of transgender women tend to be of a certain age bracket, let's say that. And younger people thinking, you know, there's still a whole world out there to change and let's be a part of it. Young people are just excited about change and older people aren't, and that maybe for good reason.
It's like, it always happens when you're talking about important stuff, isn't it? So if we're talking about what we're having for dinner tonight.
Always a bloody dog just wants to get involved. With that in mind, before we move on from this subject, I do my new Edinburgh show. I've got a whole through line about how present company excluded. This is very important that you know this. But there's I've noticed that bigots like sort of love their dogs more than the average person, right? There's something about bigots. They love a dog, and they love a dog more than they love to hate stuff. So if we could get dogs on side, they just bloody love a dog, because it doesn't matter where that dog is from. So they could like hate a French person but love a French bulldog, and they'll hate an Afghani person but love an Afghan hound. They bloody love a dog.
I do find, because I love animals, but I love people more than animals. Like, I wouldn't ever put my dog in front of a person. You know, when we go to this park, and it's like, if there's kids in the park, I won't go in there with the dog, because it's like, I wouldn't want to scare them, or, you know, people are more important than animals, I think.
Okay, yeah,
but I do find that there are some people that I know who are very much more favourable of their animals than they are people.
Or at least certain types of people, like,
And I do find that quite interesting, actually. You can always spot funny.
It's really predictable. Like, I sometimes think if I was a dog, I'd have more rights overnight than I do as a transgender person.
That's what I was going to say to you, is I'm very left-leaning, and I'm very accepting of all things, because what has it got to do with me? What does it matter to me? Well, how you choose to live your life, for to make you better. That's what I don't know why people care so much about what other people are doing when it doesn't affect them.
The illusion that it will affect them is a very reasonable fear to have if you don't have all the facts, and those facts being there is genuinely enough for everyone. If you live a life where you think the resources are running out and you think that things are being taken away from you, and now there's another group of people that have gone to the front of an imaginary queue, that's a reasonable thing to think, oh, hang on a minute, that's not fair, I'm just like everyone else. But we're not, just because we're popping up more on your TV and in your supermarkets and in your dentists, we're not taking anything away from anyone. There is literally, there's enough for everyone.
Yeah.
There's enough room on the bench. So I promise you, it's not going to change anything at all that we're around and alive.
So Edinburgh.
Yeah.
Is this the first time you've done it?
It's the second time I've done it. The first time was very small. I did a small show in 2018. It's my first year, my first hour. This year I'm going to be at a lovely big one of the top five, I think they call it. It's like a thing, the top five main venues. I'll say the venue now, and there'll be people like, that's not a top five. It's the Assembly at George Square, and I'm doing the Box at 10:25 every night for the whole of August.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's exciting. Yeah. The show's called Is It a Bird? And it's sort of a little bit about superheroes, but also like a transgender. I'm proud of that. I'm really proud of that.
The best poster for anyone. I mean, I'll share everything anyway, but if you haven't, anyone who hasn't seen your tour poster for Edinburgh is just the best fucking poster. Who did you design that? Did someone design it?
Well, I designed the concept and the layout, but it was a fantastic photographer, Dylan Woodley. The company that's producing the show, they're called Stamp Town. They're an amazing comedy collective, and they have an in-house photographer and a compositor. And between them, Dylan and Johnny, they put together this poster for me. It's so the shoot is, to describe it, is me as a superhero nude with a cape flying in the air, but the reality is I was spent about an hour and a half on a trampoline in this little theater, and that shot was like the second shot we got, and then we just thought, no, let's see if we can beat it. We didn't beat it for an hour and a half, and we're like, let's just give up now. That's very difficult to get. There's a microphone obscuring the important part. The genital region is obscured by a microphone, so I wouldn't say that makes it particularly suitable for work, but it's not actually pornographic. It's covered.
It's brilliant. What is the Thank show you. About?
So it's sort of a little bit about me, a little bit about superheroes, a little bit about how much bigots love their dogs more than normal people, and a little bit about babies as well. Like, I don't have a baby. Sorry. You've got a baby.
I've got two babies and now a baby dog. Because I rescued her, and the woman that used to look after her messaged me today to find out how everything was going on. And I was like, oh, she's so lovely. I was like, I am finding it hard. It's a lot harder than I anticipated. Because I thought it would just be like having a baby, but it's not. It's like having a destructive toddler who doesn't listen to you.
And like a newborn baby. I did make that distinction when you said that. I was like, having a baby is surely really hard.
Well, I mean, having a baby is hard, but it's not like having a dog. Plus, it's yours. Like, I love her, but I didn't give birth to her.
Well, yeah.
And she's lovely, but it's just... And my youngest daughter's 8, so it's been a long time since I've had to deal with... And I think my kids were quite well-behaved, actually, looking back.
Right.
And Dolly's not too bad, really. Like, I've heard a lot worse horror stories. But just in general, yeah, it is a lot more than I was anticipating.
I am very, very keen on getting myself a little rescue chihuahua. I never thought I'd be that sort of... It's like a stereotype, like a sort of Paris Hilton thing. I never thought I'd be that sort of woman, but I do want to be the type of woman that carries a chihuahua around in a handbag. Like, I love...
Why not?
I love them so much. And they've got these little... Right, it's sad, so it's not a thing to celebrate, but oftentimes because of pure breeding, they have like a breathing thing where they do this little... It's like a little... And it's just so adorable. And every time it did it, I'd want to hold its little head and be like, it's all right. It's all right, mate. Just breathe. Just breathe. Just calm down and breathe. And like blow in its little mouth and be like, no, maybe not that much, but I just want it to, I want to keep it alive and happy. That's all. I want to put all my efforts into looking after a chihuahua and just quit comedy. that's my goal in life. Yeah.
Have you had a dog before?
Not of my own, but in the family home as a child. Yeah, we had dogs and big... I was almost... I lived in Sweden for a long time. And I was engaged to a proper Swedish lass who had horses and dogs. She had 5 chihuahuas, 3 pit bulls and a toy Aussie. So I was surrounded by these dogs all the time. And that's where I fell in love with chihuahuas. And they all had the same thing. So it's just like a little trough of like, I love them so much. I think about them all the time. Even when we broke up, she'd call, like, for whatever reason, we had stuff in each other's houses. And in England and Sweden, and she'd let me speak to her dog, Minnie, on the phone, this chihuahua, who did it the most. It was like, I like to think she understood what I was saying.
I'm sure she did. Oh, just do it. Get one.
Well, we've got a tiny flat that's not allowed pets, but I've definitely, I've got to get one. It's the dream.
Can I talk to you a bit about the transgender
people
stuff.
Yeah.
Well, the best feedback, because you did
that was really
podcast,
funny, like what word you were going to use, like, can I talk to you about your transgender problem?
Yeah, about the problem, yeah. No, just about how, when did you, because I love finding out about people, and I just think it's all lovely to educate myself, especially, and I'm very sorry if I say anything which is offensive to you.
Don't worry about it in the slightest.
When you did Pip's podcast ages ago, the best thing was when he asked you something and you were like, well, I can't speak for all transgender people. I can only talk about myself. And it was like, the penny dropped, because it was a bit of course, because you're not, everyone's different, aren't they? You're not all white people are the same, and not all black people are the same, and not all men are the same, and women are the same. You know, it's just that.
But it's easy for our brains to assume that, because there's so much to think about nowadays. You go, okay, well, at least I understand what a transgender person is. It's... This person is, what's their name? Eddie Izzard. It's like, okay, Eddie Izzard. I know who Eddie Izzard is. I'm just going to use that as my blanket thing. But of course, we're different. And we've all got, like, some of us have got egos, and some of us are a bit of a bell end, and some of us are really nice, charitable people. Like, it's going to affect your opinion who you meet first.
Yeah.
Like, the show that I made for Comedy Central, The Transaction, it's a short form show. I don't want to like push ahead if that's what you're going to talk about, but it's relevant to the conversation. It's like, she's transgender, because I am transgender, and I play the main character Liv, and she's a bit of a dickhead. And it was really important to me that she was a bit of a dickhead. She's not some suffering saint, and she's also not some like sexualized like sex worker, which is wonderful. Like, that's not my world, so I wouldn't be able to write that. But all the love in the world for sex workers. I'm just not one, so why would I play one? I am a bit of a dickhead, so I'm going to make sure that Liv is a little bit of a dickhead. And they loved it. People were like, oh, okay, we've never seen this before. Like, you've seen it with non-transgender people, but she's like the transgender super hands, if you've ever seen Peep Show.
Yeah,
or like,
she's
a bit like that.
I love Super Hands.
Yeah, he's the best. But I came out at 24, and a lot of people come out very much younger, and we think of those as being like, there's two types of trans people, really. There's trans kids, and you're like, you always knew, you'd see them, and they know, and you know, and it's just a matter of time. And then there's people like me and a lot of older people that you transition later in life, because you either didn't realize, or you you are just unable because of circumstance, financial or family or marital status and stuff, you felt like you couldn't. So I'm in that group of people. And I only didn't because I didn't know. I have the most supportive family in the world. And I met my wife after I transitioned. A lot of people say, so how was it? Like, oh, like your wife, she, bless her, she must have been hard for her. Like we met, when I was a woman. She's not had to do anything. Like I love her, she's the best. But yeah, that's the story for a lot of people. You know, they marry somebody and then that person changes their gender. Can you imagine that? Like I hear a lot of stories, but those conversations, because then you have to sort of define what gender means to you. Like that partner has to decide, you know, if you're dating or you're married to a transgender person that comes out as transgender, you suddenly go, well then what am I? Oh wait, does that make me a lesbian? Does that make me gay? Yeah. Well, don't stop thinking about it. Stop obsessing over my knob. Like calm down.
Yeah.
It's really not that important.
It's like you fall in love. It's such a, I love the conversation about gender because it's like you fall in love with a person and their physical identity is separate to how they are as a person. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But obviously that's something to consider. Like I've never looked at the female form and found it attractive, but I'm not shut off to having a lesbian relationship. I just haven't yet met a woman that I've fancied, I guess.
That's it. You're no obligation to be so open and welcoming to the world that you feel like you have to pursue a lesbian relationship just because you support lesbians. It's fine. It's your preference. Of course it is.
Yeah. But it's being a parent, I've got two girls. They were never particularly girly when they were little, but then they were never tomboys. It's that kind of, they could play with whatever they played with. And it was very interesting when you met mothers of boys who used to talk about how their sons liked to play with dolls and what people would deem as girls' toys, and their husbands would not let them play with them.
So you were saying about how you would see the parents, the mums of boys, and those boys would potentially be playing with, let's say, coded feminine toys like dolls and things, and the dads wouldn't let them play with them.
Like, I didn't want them. Yeah, because it'd be like, oh yeah, he really likes a doll, but his dad doesn't like it when. And I'm like, but I found that offensive as a woman because it's like, what's wrong with wanting to look after and be nurturing? And also, surely it's a positive thing to be showing affection and love to toys and want to, you know, to be imitating your parents. And it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean
anything.
But also, what is wrong with it if it does, you know? There's so many problems with that.
If there was a reset now, if you could press a button and reset society, everything would be fine. It's only because of these hangovers that any problems exist. It's like when you there's two queues at a bank, there's two cash points, and you go up to it and there's only a queue for one. Right. So you go, oh, that other cash point must be broken. And what's happened is everyone's been too shy to check if that other one's working.
Yeah.
Because they're like, well, there's a queue here. I'm not going to be the idiot that does it. And then you check and it's working. Yeah. And then everyone's like, oh, for God, that's what's happening. Everyone's started something. They've said that dolls are for girls. And now it's embarrassing to go back on it because we've been doing it for too long. So it's about just having that bravery to be like, it shouldn't even need to be brave, but it is brave. To be like, calm down, guys, it's a doll.
Exactly. And it doesn't... I just feel like there's so many more important things in the world to worry about, you know, rather than... Yeah. And I love the fact now that genders is such a conversation. Like, my eldest daughter's 11, and she corrects me a lot for the things that I say. And so my dog is a girl, and I have a cat who's a boy. Since I've got the dog, I keep calling the cat a girl and the dog a boy.
Right.
How conditioned am I?
That's so strange because it's like that's a lot of people I think would say if you had to pick and say which one's a boy and which one's a girl, cats and dogs, you'd go a cat's a girl. Yeah. And because it's like, but it's because I think it's actually more simple than we think. It's probably because of like Catwoman. It's probably, I think, this the feline nature of, like, the mercurial nature of a cat. That's why Catwoman was so popular. There was no Catman, and there's no, like, dog woman, but there are like werewolves and dogs. That it's like the pack hunter as the man, and the feline is a mercurial presence. I don't think that's necessarily what you're doing, by the way. I don't think
Catwoman. I can't believe that I'm doing it, because I like to think of myself as Gwyn quite aware of things like that. But having a daughter who's more tuned on than I am, I'm a bit like, fucking hell, like, I hope I'm not.
The young people now, this is so great. It's so wonderful. They know everything that it took us a lifetime to learn, because they've got the internet and they've got all this information. Gender means, it's not that it doesn't mean anything to kids, but I'm a part of this government program called Educate and Celebrate that goes into schools and teaches kids about LGBT. But of course, only the surface level stuff. We're not talking about sex. It's 4 to 11-year-olds. And I was talking to this 4-year-old. And they have a transgender kid in their class. And he was telling me about his friend, Jessie, this transgender girl. And he was like, Jessie likes to, she's a girl. So she likes to wear a dress. And then he felt like he needed to tell me this. He was like a little man, like propping up a bar. He's 4 years old. And he goes, I'm a boy. So I don't wear dresses and that. But like Jessie does. And that's right. That's nice. Like, he already knows. He already knows everything. I don't need to educate this kid at all. It's so adorable. I wish everyone was like that.
Well, yeah, I think everyone probably is like that, but it's just how they're conditioned, unfortunately, by the people that influence them that makes them change. Do you know what I mean? It's like, because why would you have an issue as a kid? You don't care. Do you either like someone or you don't?
They don't know exactly. They learn bad habits. We all just learn bad habits from our parents and the people around us. Nobody's naturally afraid of spiders. Kids aren't naturally afraid. It's when we scream and they go, oh, oh, and they're scared of us screaming at them, and they like the spider, and then they're like, well, this is terrifying now. I don't know why, but I'm terrified. We're inherently just nice, loving people that want to be friends with everything that moves.
Yeah.
You know?
I went to see Eddie Izzard many moons ago, but that was one of the things that he spoke about, was like most people are just nice and don't care about other people. Like in the sense of, I don't really care who you fancy, you know, what you're into, because it doesn't affect me. I think I like to think that most people are like that. I mean, I'm obviously very privileged being a white heterosexual, you know, so I don't have to deal with any prejudice. Well, other than the fact I'm a woman, but whatever. But I like to think that most people are nice, because that's the world that I want to live in, and luckily I can live in. But obviously I'm very aware that there are some hideous people. But it's like when, because I'm a staunch Labour supporter, well, I'm a bit whatever now, but I was very much a Corbyn supporter. And couldn't believe, because I've muted all of my racist friends on Facebook. And I just see the things that I want to see. And then, you know, when it all went tits up, I was honestly shocked, because I was like, how could people vote for Boris Johnson? Like,
because you hadn't seen that information. That's so interesting. That is probably the most important conversation of our time. I would love to be able to mute everyone that racists and bigots and transphobes. I don't, and I'll tell you why. Because I want to have a perfect strata. Like, I want to understand the audience I'm about to walk into every night. And if I've imagined muting them all and then going into an audience like, hey, cisgender people, how's about that JK Rowling? And the crowd just goes, what the fuck are you talking about? Because I've only surrounded myself with stuff like people. So I have so many, we're talking Islamophobic people, otherwise nice people that have one abhorrent, terrible view, Islamophobic people, racists and bigots. And because there's still people that have made one terrible error of judgment. And I feel like I want to always keep my finger on that pulse.
Yeah.
But it means that social media is not a pleasant place for me a lot of the time. I've got people that were my strong friends from before I transitioned that now are posting horrible, horrible stuff. And I've just had, out of principle, I have to leave it, not to me specifically, just their views.
I
just have to leave it and absorb it. And you it's not about, it's people like to say, like, thick skin is a nice phrase for it, because you do sort of feel like that.
Yeah.
But it's more that I don't absorb any opinion either way. I'm like, okay, well, this is what humanity is. I'm just going to sort of float around with a silly hat on or whatever, or a silly haircut, and just try and make people laugh.
Yeah.
Also, I just want to pick you up on something because it's quite important. Being a woman is bloody hard work. And I've only been doing it for a little while. It's some mountains and molehills. Don't sell yourself short,
But I am aware that things could be a lot worse. Being a woman is hard. And it's
being white is easy. Being white is like, I go through all day long just like, sometimes feel like, how am I complaining about anything? Like, of course, it's not the way it should be, but being white is a... I'm very happy to stand at the back of the queue and wait my turn being white. That's fine. Being a woman, bloody hard. Being transgender, quite hard, but there's not that many of us, so at least we can get together and talk about it. Being gay and that, things, it was trendy for a while, still pretty hard. Apart from that, I've not got any experience of anything else. What else could there be? I imagine it's not that easy being of any religious minority in this country. That's not fun for anyone.
Yeah. Can I ask something personal?
Yeah.
Do you take hormones?
Yeah, I take four. It's essentially the same thing as the pill. It's 8 milligrams of fake estrogen every day, which is a lot. That's an awful lot to take, but it's because your body doesn't. It's like with anything, like your probiotics and everything. Your body only absorbs a tiny bit of everything you take, so you really have to overload it. Yeah. And what that estrogen does is kind of what you would guess. Makes my hair all long and sleek and shiny, makes the skin all nice and soft, and it redistributes the fat in your body to the places that it would typically be in a feminine body. So my bum over the years has gotten bigger, and my arms have gotten like smaller, and my gut's sort of gotten smaller. I have no muscle left because that requires testosterone to tell your body to build. So that's really fascinating. They give you the option to have something called an anti-androgen, which is like, it stops testosterone from being produced. But it zonked me out for it. I couldn't do anything. It was like a sort of chemical depression. There was just no desire to do anything. Wow. And I was like, I can't live that life. So I still have lots of testosterone flowing through my body, produced by the old testicles. That's what they do. But loads of estrogen to counter it. So after 18, testosterone's done its job. I'm 6 foot tall, and as you can hear, my voice is quite deep. That's never going to change. I'm not going to shrink and have a high voice. Yeah. But the estrogen does at least, I would say like size B boobies before I had a boob job. So it's like, it's amazing what estrogen does.
Wow.
So I had boobies before I then had them augmented with this space age grade silicone that's in there.
Did it make you mental at all? Because when I've never been able to take the pill. Any hormone stuff, because it just makes me mental. But I was just wondering if it makes you mental at all.
I'm not naive to the fact that I've lived a whole life of male privilege before I transitioned, so I've never had to endure the horrible monthly menstrual cycle. But because I don't have endometrial cells to be released, so I don't have that cramp. There's no cramp. I do have the same symptoms of your period. Because of the estrogen.
Really?
But I don't, like a frustrations and irritability that comes with it. But there's nothing there's no cells to be released. So there's no bloating and everything because the cells just aren't there.
Yeah.
But that's every night I take them. A small period of that. The body flushes with irritability because it's trying to counter what you've just given it. You've given it loads and loads of estrogen, which is what the body sends out to release cells. So yeah, I have PMT, not PMT, because that is the tension. What's the word for just the mental side of it? PMS?
Yeah, PMS.
So I have like a 5% PMS every night, but then it goes away. It is incredible. The body's just it's just a puppet that we just pump it full of chemicals. It's really predictable, basically. The body's very, very predictable. You give it what it needs and it does stuff.
Yeah. Because I'm 44, so I'm getting, and I'm, my brain fog's terrible, my memory's terrible, and I'm convinced I'm kind of perimenopausal, but I've got gynecological issues as well, so it could be that instead. But I'm reading very much at the moment about menopause, and it's quite good at the moment because menopause is quite a buzzword. Like, there's a lot of stuff, like Davina McCall's made the programs and stuff, hasn't she? So it's definitely more of a conversation than it was when my mum went through it 20 years ago or however long ago it was, but... So I'm reading a lot, but it is just amazing the effect that hormones do have on your body and mentally as well. I mean, I know because I've lived through it, but it's like that's amazing that you
It's so predictable. Yeah. Can I ask like a silly question then? Because yeah. I feel like that's what podcasts are for, isn't it? Let's ask like questions that we didn't think we're not quite sure about. I don't have periods, obviously. If I did, there'd be a problem. Something's gone terribly wrong. But here's something that I would never have thought about because it doesn't touch my life. When adverts used to like use for like pads and stuff, they'd use like a blue liquid to demonstrate the period in all yeah. adverts. It'd always be like a blue liquid because they're like, oh gosh, we can't show a red liquid on television to pretend it doesn't happen. And then recently that's completely changed. And now it's just as it's the graphics that you see, it's now obviously a red liquid just to, so basically so that young girls didn't grow up thinking, why is mine red and not blue? Like, because that happened to real people. That happened to Tina Fey. She was like, in all the adverts, it's blue. And then she had her period. She's like, oh my God, this isn't normal because I thought it was going to be blue. Were you ever aware of that? Did you ever, like growing up or whatever, or seeing adverts for tampons and pads, did you ever think, was it ever sort of felt like patronising or annoyed that it's like, why are they sort of blue washing basically this experience? Yeah, why are they trying?
I've not thought about that until you've mentioned it now, to be honest. I think before I was aware of what a period was, I didn't know what they were going on about. And then once I knew, I never remember that it annoyed me. The most annoying thing was I used to have the worst cramps. So seeing adverts of women rollerblading because they were wearing Tampax, and it was
sure.
like
that's all it took was a Tampax, and now you can now you can climb a mountain.
I've never been able to use Tampax because they make you cramp more, or they can make you cramp more. So I've never been able to use them anyway. But I was a bit like, that's completely. Why don't you show the other side of what it's like? I mean, I do have some friends that never, they just come on and be like, oh, I've just come on, I didn't know I was getting my period, where I was like the whole week before I wanted to kill everyone, you know, and throughout the whole period they were fine, whereas I wasn't. But that annoyed me that they weren't educating or showing the real how it is
all flowers and sunshine and rollerblading. It would be nice to see, because you see like adverts now, you'll see like an advert for a Galaxy chocolate bar that will make you cry. It's like so sad. It's like a kid giving a chocolate bar to a crying woman on a bus. You're like, let's do that for tampons and pads. Yeah. Let's show the real experience, and it can be a really uplifting thing. It doesn't have to be all sour and like and sad, but it's that real experience of how horrible it's going to be, instead of like club music and like, oh, it's all sunshine. The bit before, we're here for you. Like, we're going to get, we charge you extortionate amount for it. We tax you way too much for it. But, we've got this product. And, like, we've got you, girl. Like,
I tell you something amazing, though. My friend, because I've been having a lot of pain. I've got cysts, basically. And she's in America. They've got this patch. It's called Jovi. And you basically put it on, you where it hurts. And it uses your body to get rid of the pain. And I have no idea how it works, but it works. So, and I've put it on my head when I've had a headache.
It's not meant for that, but you've used it for that.
Well, it's marketed for period pain, but it helps with back pain. Wow. It's amazing. And I have no idea, but I'm like, why is this not? Because you can't, because you have, with it, you get like adhesives so it can stick to you. And I went to get some more, but it's not here, it's in America. And I'm like, why is this not everywhere in the world? Like, I still don't understand how it works, but it's amazing.
It's like some pain is so deep that the amount of painkillers you'd have to take to get rid of it makes you nauseous or whatever. And like, it's just something that you can just put on that area.
It's a patch. And it it uses your body to, but I don't know how. But then your body is amazing, isn't it? I mean, there's so much we don't know.
Body and the brain. There's genetics, and then there's epigenetics, which not to patronise you. I start talking about it, and then some people go like, "Yeah, I know. I learned this when I was 12. Shut up, Jordan." Epigenetics is the study. So genetics is the study of our genes. Most people, we understand what genes sort of are. It's the information that makes us do stuff. And gives us certain physical and behavioural characteristics. But epigenetics is the study of whether or not those genes are switched on or off, just like a light switch. You could have a gene for osteoporosis, but it's switched off, so you're never going to get it. So it's like blue eyes, brown eyes, it's whether it's switched on or off. And when you flood your body with estrogen that you never had, like in my case as a child, loads of those genes get switched on that were never on in the first place. So you start to develop, let's call them biological feminine behavioural characteristics, stuff that the women of a tribe would have done in prehistoric times, keeping the group together, social skills, emotional levels of emotional intelligence that allow you to keep a group of people together. That's a very feminine characteristic, because it was the women of the group that would hold their little monkey babies in their bellies, and the males of the group that didn't have that massive job to do of birthing and looking after the babies would be out hunting. So their three-dimensional spatial skills were higher, which is why we talk about men having that hunter-gatherer thing, that instinct. My hunter-gatherer instincts slowly switching off, my desire to want to keep a group of people together emotionally and to connect with people emotionally massively heightened. There's a discussion that you could have about maybe that's a placebo and you just feel more welcome, but also the study does prove, these studies of epigenetics prove that there's certain things switch off. My spatial awareness has diminished ever so slightly. It's an old cliche that a woman can't find their car in a car park. That is a cliche, but I swear there's something to it, because I've lost my way now more times than I can count. It's just interesting. It is interesting
it
to
is
see if these, yeah, if any of this stuff has any real scientific underpinning, or if it's all a, if these cliches that have anything to them, most
if
of them
you read
obviously
that book,
don't.
The Jen Pip had her on the podcast, and she wrote about genetics and gender and how it's a spectrum, and there's like a science behind it.
I haven't
I'll
read
find it.
It
and I'll send it, because I was like, that's another thing that there's a lot of things that I need to do. But it just sounded so interesting about, like how, and how, I've got to try and remember this right, because I've listened to it ages ago, but it was how we're the same, but then more things are turned off and on in men and women, but that it's like a scale anyway, so you can get more, what you'd say, a manly women and womanly men.
Masculine women.
You know
and,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like
I know what you mean.
It's that kind of, it's just in all of us, and it's just literally how it's luck of the draw, how you turn out, basically.
It's so right. And it is so much of the hunter-gatherer thing in men and the social group thing in women is just imposed by society, because that's what we did for hundreds of billions of years. When we didn't need to do that anymore, some people don't like change, as we've already discussed. So like, no, you keep being the group of hens, and you keep being the group of wolves, and women be a group of people and men go off and be lone wolves. So the societal pressure. So now you do have people born like myself with a penis. It doesn't dictate the old hunter-gatherer instinct. It's about finding a place in society for us that doesn't make people feel like they're having some rights taken away, which, again, as we've discussed, there's enough for everyone. I can certainly tell you I'm far more productive member of society the way I am now than I was before. So maybe just let me do it.
With that, I was having a conversation today with a friend who's got a son who they're having some issues with, and she just said, it's because boys don't talk. And I just thought, my daughters do not shut up. And we really talk about everything. But I wonder, not to say that what she's saying is wrong, but I did wonder how much of that, because I know that her husband is quite a typical manly man, and how much of that her son doesn't talk because he doesn't feel like he should because of his father's influence, or if it is just men don't feel that they can talk.
That feels very societal, because if you look at a bunch of monkeys, those men monkeys are not withholding anything at all. They are shouting at each other. It sounds like a joke, but it's true. Men are desperate to talk, and it's societal pressure. I don't think there's anything genetic about like a male, an XY chromosome, which it doesn't mean male. Sexually, it means a male.
Yeah,
I don't think there's anything that says keep the jaw clamped shut in the presence of, you know, an emotional figure. That men are desperate to talk. It's really nice. You see, like, we know a lot of them. We know these woke blokes. I love that phrase. It's like people that are proper manly blokes, but they will talk about anything. People like Rich Wilson and Stu Whiffen. They're like, and Pip as well. They're woke blokes. They've got these fucking Viking beards, and they will talk to you for hours about gender politics and stuff. I love it. That they're obviously proof that men can share.
Yeah, because I was a bit like, I didn't want to be like, I think feel like if I had a son, he'd talk.
Yeah.
But, I mean, of course, everyone's different and some people just don't want to and some people do. But yeah, I did just think, I wonder how much of that is the influence of how he feels he should be rather than how he wants to be.
Yeah,
that's as well, you know.
Societal. It's down to the parents themselves, dictated by society, which was dictated by genetics. That's a long, long hangover from our prehistoric past. So no one's really to blame in all of this. It's like some sad stuff just does just happen. These, you know, it's nobody ever said we were all supposed to be happy. Like we just do our best, Like that's strange, isn't it? I think that's a very British thing. The Americans, hey, have it in their constitution, the right, the pursuit of happiness. We have a right to be happy or try and be happy.
Yeah.
But British, we don't have that. So we were like, no, life can be quite miserable. Get on with it.
That's one thing that Pip always says to me is like, you don't have to be happy all the time. And like the first time he said it, I was like, why would you not want to be happy all the time? But some people don't.
But that's not the conversation, is it? Yeah. It would be nice if we were. Charlie Chaplin actually, I'm sure it was Charlie Chaplin that said the most horrifying thing I can imagine is to be 100% content. I'm paraphrasing, but can you actually imagine there being no downs? So you've got nothing to compare the ups to. So then it's just a bland life of cocktails and beaches.
Yeah, and that is the thing, isn't it? Like you have to have the opposite. You have to be miserable to be happy. Because if you were happy all the time, you wouldn't be happy, would you? Because it would just be normal.
Yep, just be a baseline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I'm so sorry. It's been so disrupted by my dog.
It's all good. We're all good. I feel like we've chatted about some wonderful stuff.
We have. It's really, really, really great. Lovely. Thank you for educating me. This is why I love doing this, because I just learn so much. I will forget it all.
you've got it recorded if you ever want to check
that's
in.
True. Yeah. I don't retain any information at the moment. Mm-hmm. But
I'll come on the podcast again next week and just do it again.
You'll be like,
so tell me about transgender stuff. I'm like, well, let me tell you.
So you're doing what day in August? Every night in August?
From the 3rd till the 28th. So it's basically the whole month minus the 17th. But that's all, that will be all on the poster.
Yeah.
And it's at Assembly at 10:25 every night. And it's Is It a Bird? Jordan Gray. And I'm proud of it. It's a fun show. Me and my keyboard trying to make you laugh for an hour.
I would love to say I'm going to come, but I don't think I am.
It's a trek.
I had Vix Layton on.
Yeah, she's great.
Yes, she's in Edinburgh, and I was like, I've been wanting to go to the Edinburgh Festival since I was 16, and I still haven't made it, but the reality of me getting there is not, because it's just so bloody expensive to get there and stay.
I'm staying with Vix Layton in Edinburgh. We're sharing a flat.
Brilliant.
Yeah. And she's really helped me out, because otherwise it would have been very expensive on my own.
Yes.
Yeah, it's an expensive prospect, especially this year. It's three times more expensive for most performers this year. The prices have all been driven up. It's kind of a big old slap in the face to the industry, the landlords there and the shows themselves.
Seriously?
Yeah, it's priced a lot of working class comedians out of the festival, which means you can only imagine what the festival is going to be like if it's just...
Is there any funding for people for it, like with the Arts Council or anything? Can people get help? Because realistically, it's only the rich fucking people that can afford it anyway, isn't it, really?
Exactly. If I hadn't sold this TV show, I would not be able to afford it in a million years. I'm as working class as they come. I would not be up there. I just got lucky. And that's going to be the case. Any working class people up there, it's because they got lucky with a recent windfall.
Yeah.
There are millions of... millions is an exaggeration. There's a lot of individual... grants. There's great causes like Best in Class is a comedy showcase that is only for working class comedians, and they help fund their posters and their printing, and they put them all together in the same venue. Best in Class is worth checking out. They're always funny. Working class people are funnier, let's just be honest. We're funnier in general, because we struggle. Anyone that's had a struggle, funnier than anyone else, because you've had to learn to be funny. We didn't have money to go out, so we just make each other laugh by candlelight.
Don't you think art wise you have to struggle for all arts, I think, and that's where your content comes, doesn't it, really?
Exactly, for sure. So if you are Edinburgh Fringe listeners this year, go check out some working class comics. There's great rich comedians as well, but they'll be fine without you. go and watch some working class comedians. It's going to be a big year. regardless. And certainly for me, this is the biggest year I've ever done. So I'm looking forward to it.
I'm very excited for you. And I wanted to watch your show because Stu Whiffin posted about it. And I was like, oh my God, I've got to watch it. Is it on BBC Three still? Can I still watch it? Because I haven't
No, yet. So it... No, no worries at all. It's a short form series made for Comedy Central. So you can watch it. You could YouTube it now. You can watch it on YouTube. It has since been sold to a channel, which I can't tell you what it is because we're not allowed yet. And we're making the full TV show of that show. So these are short episodes that are online. These, and then the ones that will be on TV will be your normal half an hour sitcom episodes.
Oh my God, that's amazing. Congratulations. Yeah, yeah.
Really cool. Thank you. Yes, yeah, it's a dream.
Oh, I thought it was a series already.
Well, it's a short series. Like, yeah. We certainly won a bunch of awards for it. It did really well. It's a short series called Transaction. So you can just YouTube Comedy Central Transaction, and the six-minute episodes of me dressed. Well, it's me with a different name. Yeah. I'm not really an actress. It's me with a different name. I work in a supermarket, and it's funny. It's quite funny.
I could have bloody watched that. I thought it was going to be like half an hour's.
Yeah. Well, that's what's to come.
But that's coming now. That's amazing.
Yeah. 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 Well, I'll keep you posted.
God, so you're very busy then.
Oh, it's the dream. I got to that point now where it's like, be careful what you wish for level. Things are very, very busy now. But which is why it's lovely to take a break and talk to somebody like you and just, yeah, actually have a conversation that isn't about numbers and figures and, yeah, notes, network notes. Thank you. Yeah, it's the best.
I'll post links to everything.
Thank you very much.
And hopefully I'll have you on again at some point.
That would be lovely. Yeah, and we'll have the same conversation. So wherever you don't remember. listeners of the Mum and Mama podcast, well done for supporting such a fantastic podcast. I'm certainly a fan, and now more so than ever. I've had a first-hand experience. So keep supporting the old Mum and Mama podcast, and hopefully I'll speak to you all again soon. Amy, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much. Stay there. I'm going to stop recording, but stay there. Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Hi. So yes, that was a lovely Jordan. I do hope you enjoyed it. If you want to talk about anything that we discussed, then of course, please get in touch, or if you have any guest suggestions. This time next week, I am going to be at Camp Bestival, which I'm extremely excited about. If you're going and you see me, please say hello. I'm going to be interviewing some people for the podcast, I hope. I've not had them confirmed yet, but fingers crossed, someone will want to talk to me. So yeah, if you don't know what Camp Bestival is, then I suggest you Google it and book for next year. It is the best family festival ever. I think this is going to be my fourth time. I've got to remember this. We performed once when I was in a band. Maybe it's my third time. I feel like it's my fourth time though. But anyway. But yeah, it's the best. It is the best. So I suggest you go. I'm going to hopefully be talking to Rob and Josie, who do the festival. We were supposed to organise it pre-festival, but that hasn't happened. So I think we'll do a little recce afterwards. So look forward to that one. But yeah, Mum and Mama Pod on all the socials. Please share, please subscribe. Sharing is caring. Big love to you all. I do hope you didn't melt. And I look forward to seeing you next week. Big love. Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.